The following is an exclusive presentation of WI Garden Media, the voice of Garden Talk Radio.
Coming up on the program today, we're going to go answering the five most asked questions on social media about gardening this time of year in segment one and two. And our guest is Jenny Rose Carey, and we'll answer more of your garden questions. The hour is full. Join us. It starts right now.
You're listening to the most informationally packed hour of garden-focused radio in the country and on the internet with your host, husband and wife team, Joey and Holly Baird. This is the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
And welcome to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. Happy that you've tuned into the program today, whether you're listening to us on one of the 18 AM and FM frequencies broadcasting our program here in 2022 through our parent website under the Season 6 tab, that is the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, radio tab, podcast replay, in-studio video replay, however you're doing it. Thank you very much. I am your host, Joey Baird. Beside me is my wife, co-host, best friend, and gardening partner,
Holly Baird.
This program is for you, about you, to help your garden grow better, to maintain your landscape, grow healthier trees, make your grass look greener, as well as preserving what you grow. You want to be part of the program, and we encourage you to do such. If you want to partake and ask questions, two different avenues in which you can choose to do that. One is by sending us an email to gardentalkradio@gmail.com. That's gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to talk to us directly, you can give us a call on the Proclamation Hotline brought to you by Proclamation Goods. That number is 1-800-927-SHOW. 1-800-927-7469. Toll free, coast to coast.
Proclamation Goods creates cookware for the eco-conscious home chef. Their pans are non-toxic, have a lifetime warranty, and are made in Wisconsin. Their award-winning stainless steel Proclamation Duo cookware set is a 12-inch skillet and a stockpot that doubles as a wok. Best of all, the skillet and stockpot hinge together to form a Dutch oven. It's two pans of the versatility of 10, empowering you to cook more with less. If you care about your health and strive for a more sustainable lifestyle, then Proclamation Goods is for you. Supply is limited, so order yours now at ProclamationGoods.com.
ProclamationGoods.com. We thank them for being part of the program today. So, Holly, let's get into the program. When you go, if you're a member on a gardening social media Facebook page, we'll just preference that, a group, there's a lot of repetitive questions being asked and a lot of the same familiar images being shown about what is wrong with this and why is this happening and how do I fix this. So we're going to go over five of the most frequently asked questions that we've seen on our particular pages, and we are going to address them. If these five do not fall into the five that you have asked the most this year, please correct us by sending us an email to gardentalkradio@gmail.com, and we will get your question answered for you. So we'll start with this, Holly. What is wrong with my tomatoes? And the image is a bright, colorful tomato with a rotten black disproportionate bottom on it.
So this is blossom end rot, and blossom end rot is a physiological problem. It's not a disease. It's not a pest. It's not anything that is causing it from... I don't know. It's not a disease. So it's a physiological problem. So what happens is that you have a lack of access of calcium to your plants, and therefore it causes that issue, blossom end rot. So a lot of times people will – there's like an old wives tale or old gardener's tale saying you need to add Epsom salt to your soil or crushed eggshells or powdered milk. And maybe powdered milk might help. I'm not really sure. But you want – Epsom salt is magnesium sulfate. It's not calcium. And a lot of times people will add – you know, they'll put Epsom salt in a spray bottle with some water, or they'll just sprinkle it around and water the plants, and this takes care of the problem. Now, it's not going to take care of the current fruit, but it takes care of the problem on the next fruiting. And you think, oh, voila, that's what worked. Well, no.
People will also – there are products that are available that are blossom end rot spray or rot stop this, and that people believe if they sprayed on the plant, it will actually stop the process that is causing the blackening rot appearance on their fruit.
Right. And that's, yeah, that's not also, that's also not a thing. So what happens is that when you water it, you release that calcium into the plant. And so when the calcium is locked up in the soil because maybe you forgot to water, you have no rain, what have you, then the plant can't access it. But when you water, then the calcium gets released and it takes care of the problem.
Now, 99% of the problems in this situation is the lack of moisture being in the soil. There are occasions where you will get blossom end rot because there is too much moisture and it's flushing away the available necessities, or the, in this instance, calcium that the plant needs. But for the majority of all of you who are listening, you're not watering enough. It's not got enough moisture. You vary on very rare occasions that you don't have the calcium needed in the soil. But most of the time, it is because you are not watering frequently enough, keeping that soil damp to allow that plant to take up the nutrients that it needs in order to produce the fruit correctly.
Right, and that is vital. So that is the problem. That is what blossom end rot.
And there is no variety. I've seen this question. Well, what variety of tomatoes is best that it will have less blossom end rot? It really comes down to the watering. There's no such thing in the world of tomatoes. All right. Next question. When to harvest my potatoes?
Well, this depends on what – it can depend on a few different things. What variety you grow. If you know what variety and how long they will take to grow, you can time it out. You also will see the plant that comes out of the ground, the top part of the potato – start to die back, and then you usually know. That's the two major ways to tell.
You can start harvesting 10 weeks after you plant your potato. You're going to have, what is it, baby potatoes, new potatoes. I forget what the actual terminology is. But you can start getting potatoes at that point. Your best opportunity to have the largest potatoes possible is whenever that plant has died back. And you talked about there's several different growth time frames based on the variety. There's early, mid, and late potato varieties, 70 to 90 days, 90 to 110 days, and there's potatoes that can take up to 110 to 135 days. So you can plant potatoes that you get from your local co-op or organic grocery store that is sprouting. You still want to do your best to identify what type of potatoes those are so you can determine whether or not there is a persistent problem in with those potatoes. If something is going on, you know, 8-9 weeks in, they're starting to die off. Well, this doesn't seem right. Something's wrong. Side note on the potatoes, people are showing pictures of little green tomato-like fruit coming off of the potatoes. What is that?
That's a potato seed pod. So if you don't start potatoes from
tubers, which is recommended.
Right, which is recommended. You could start from the seed pods. I think it's a couple-year process.
Right.
But those are potato seed pods, and you don't want to eat them. They are not edible.
They are a defense mechanism for the plant that animals will consume them and get sick or have a bad taste, one or the other, and that will prevent the plant from being eaten. But you'll see this. You can save the seeds. You can play around. There are groups and organizations that focus on growing potatoes from the true seed. But it's much, much easier just to do the tubers as we've always been taught to do. All right. Next one is deer and rabbit groundhog problems in my yard.
Yeah. So these are common problems. And one thing you can use is deer defeat. And you can go to deerdefeat.com. You use code radio to save 10% off your order.
It's a sworn by product. It's all natural. Many of you who are listening, if you're not listening, you wouldn't know this. Many of the listeners of our program have purchased the product and swear by it. Works very well, does exactly what it's supposed to do. It doesn't prevent the animals from coming into your yard. It prevents the animals from consuming the plants. You can spray it right on the plants. You got to follow the instructions based on the type of plant and the growth cycle of that plant. No odor after 30 minutes for humans, and then after it will still stay active, rain, sleet, snow, 30 days afterwards, and you'll reapply. But it works phenomenal. You want to go to our parent website, the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, and you can click on the search tab and type in Deer Defeat, two words, and you can see, and we've talked to the owner at an expo and how the process is done. So there are other means if you choose not to. We're not going to be, you know, I don't want this to be an infomercial. There are other ways in which to detour rabbits, deer, and groundhog. The groundhog one, I'll start with that, and you can go with the deer, Holly. You can put, if you're doing a raised bed, you can do thick hardware cloth, a wire mesh to keep them from chewing up under the bed. That's one way. Other ways, if you don't have raised beds, you can trap them and relocate them. You can dispose of them in other means, legal or non, in your community or your property. Deer, Holly, how do you alternately keep them away from your property?
Sure. So deer, you can make sure that you are not planting any vegetables that are near the
candy,
like deer candy. So if it's tomatoes, green beans, not near the perimeter of your property or garden. There's also different fencing you can use. You can do a double fence that stops the deer. They won't jump in because then they can't jump out. You can do a fish line around some tall posts. And then you put that fish line around, the deer bump their noses on it. They don't know what it is. They run away. They don't come back.
The practice of putting human hair or urine around the garden, not that effective because deers are smelling that all the time in an urban setting. Rural areas that might be a little more productive because country deer are more skittish around humans. Urban deer or metropolis deer are around people all the time, and they are not as skittish because they know they're probably not going to get shot at, type of thing.
Right.
And rabbits, you can, for years, we had a 2-foot-high poultry or chicken fence around our garden, and that did very well deterring the rabbits and making sure that we sealed off all the perimeters going into the property that they couldn't go under the fence and sealed that up, and that worked very well to deter them as well.
Right, and now we found some rabbits. They had a little den, and now some of them have attacked some things in our garden.
And we put the fence back up.
And we put the fence back up. So, sometimes that's the answer.
Well, the answer also can be Walton's Incorporated, Holly. Knowing where your meat comes from, knowing what you put in your food, Walton's has all of that and a whole lot more.
Yeah, Walton's.com. You can get all the equipment, seasoning, and supplies to make sausage, jerky, and any other meat product your way. They also have meatgistics.com to help educate people on the hows and whys of meat processing, as well as a community of almost 15,000 users who will help give their opinion and guidance on meat processing issues. And then if you want to make some delicious snack sticks, they have our jerky, whatever. They have meat grinders, mixers, sausage stuffers to help you go from animal to edible. Walton's, everything but the meat. You can use code GROW22 to save 10% off your orders of $50 or more. GROW50 to save 10% off your orders of $50 or more and get free shipping.
Well, hang out with us. When we come back, we're going to tackle more of your questions about Japanese beetles, mushrooms in your garden, as well as discolorated cucumber leaves. You're listening to the Garden with Joe and Holly Radio Show, a program to help your garden grow better.
Have a garden question? Give Joey and Holly a call now or anytime 24/7. Just dial 1-800-927-SHOW. If you can't get through, leave a message and they will call you back. Call now 1-800-927-SHOW.
Do you have nuts or fruit in your yard? A Nut Wizard is a handy, effective tool that will pick up round or oval tree produce quickly and easily, leaving debris behind for a clean harvest. A Nut Wizard tool saves your back and your time. Visit NutWizard.com for more information.
Jung Seed Company is a family-owned and operated gardening company since 1907 with the largest selection of seeds and plants online. Use code 10TG22 to receive 10% off your order at JungSeed.com. That code again is 10TG22.
ChipDrop is a website. You can sign up for free wood chip mulch delivery right to your door for free. ChipDrop connects homeowners and gardeners with tree services who are trying to get rid of their wood chips. You can also sign up to get free logs and firewood. Go to ChipDrop.com to learn more and sign up for a free account.
A non-selective herbicide that is also USDA certified? You bet. No More Weeds by Naturally Green Products. The same great company that brings you No More Bugs, No More Weeds. Kills weeds with no harsh chemicals, no glyphosate. No More Weeds is a commercial-grade vinegar base with a proprietary sticking agent. Great around pools, decks, patios, etc. Visit natsgreenproducts.com, enter promo code WEEDS, W-E-E-D-S, and buy 3 1-gallon size units, get the fourth one free.
Thanks for listening to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. As you've heard through the program, many companies offering coupon codes to help you save on great products. If you've missed any of those coupon codes, you can go to our parent website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, and click on the Money tab at the top of the page, and they're all listed for you. The Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Rootmaker, Dripworks, Pomona Universal Pectin, Phylum Bioproducts, Tree Diaper, Chapin Manufacturing Incorporated, Deer Defeat, Water Hoop. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. It's dry in a lot of places, Holly. Tree Diaper is a product in which you don't need any additional items in order to make it function. You just got to hydrate it and then let nature take over from it. TreeDiaper.com.
Yeah, Tree Diaper is a revolutionary watering system that slowly releases water around the base of any tree or plant as the soil dries. The Tree Diaper is filled with water from rain or when you water and slowly releases water over 3 weeks. No more overwatering or underwatering with the Tree Diaper. Every time it rains, Tree Diaper recharges. No pipes, hoses, or electricity needed. Water your plants with trees, whether they're down by the house, down the road, or in the back 40. Also works under mulch, whether you're a first-time gardener or advanced. Tree Diaper will improve the way you water your plants. Made in the USA, you can find all the sizes they have available at TreeDiaper.com.
TreeDiaper.com. We use it, we're using it, and it's working quite well, just as it is described. Well, we'll continue with those 5 most asked questions that gardeners are asking on social media. We've talked about deer, rabbit, groundhog on your property. We've talked about blossoming root rot. We've also talked about, what else, Holly?
We talked about harvesting potatoes.
Well,
so now we have another question.
I got mushrooms in my garden. What's going on?
Yes, that's fine.
Are they good? Are they bad? How do I get rid of them? What does it mean?
They're not necessarily good or bad.
Are they edible?
I wouldn't eat them. I wouldn't let my kids or my dogs eat them, or if you have any sort of outside pet. But it just means that you have some fungus growing there. You have some decomposers going on. Mushrooms are decomposers. They grew there. They found something to eat, and that's what they do. You can leave them. You can mow over them if you want.
Usually in like 2 days, they're gone.
Yeah, but well, I'm saying that if you mow over them, right, it's not going to be the end of the world. You just let them be.
Yeah, it's a good thing. If you've got mushrooms in your garden, that's a wonderful thing. If you got them in your straw bale, that's a good thing too. Don't eat them. Now, there is ways of growing mushrooms, edible mushrooms, on your property. But you need to know what you're doing and the proper instructions and the proper companies to buy those spores and all that stuff.
You could even, you know, we've done the kits that we've gotten from the garden centers where you grow them essentially like in your home.
Right.
Which is fun too.
Best mushrooms you ever did eat.
Yeah, those were super delicious.
All right, Holly. Next one is my cucumber leaves are changing colors. What does that mean? Well, it can mean several different things. There are about 5 different things in which when your cucumber plants discolor is what it means. Now, first of all, cucumbers, and this is something maybe a lot of people are not familiar with, Holly, cucumbers don't grow all season long. They're a short season crop. They don't grow very long. They don't grow for months.
Right.
They need 65 degrees or warmer at root zone before planting. So some people fall in that trap. You plant them too early, they get stunted, they don't produce. We see the discoloration of the leaves from dark green to yellow to dried up. Now, this can be too much water or not enough water, so pick your poison there. Lack of sunlight. People will plant these in an area that are too shady. Cucumbers need a lot of sun, full sun as much as possible. It could be harmful insects, could be getting into your plant or on your plant, laying their eggs, doing damage to them. Insufficient nutrients that may be between the watering and not watering enough and the insufficient nutrients. That's probably your top 2 there. Insufficient nutrients can be if the leaves are changing color, meaning it's going from green to yellow, that would indicate probably a lack of nitrogen. So there's a way of liquid nitrogen is a way of getting the plant the nitrogen right away. Granular nitrogen or water-soluble nitrogen is a little slower process of getting it picked up. But if you can get ahead of this by regularly feeding your cucumber plants with a all-balance fertilizer throughout the year, like Johnny Appleseed's Organics, that will help continue to feed your plants. And there's a new number of plant diseases in which you can obtain, your plants can obtain. So what can you do? Well, again, keep your plants watered. Soil needs to be damp, not soggy. And you need to continue to feed your plants if you feel that you are going to have a nutrient deficiency because you may not be planting or may not have the best soil possible.
Right. And, yeah, that's...
And you can always trim back the lower leaves that are dying back. These plants will gradually die back from the bottom up. That's normal. But you can remove some of those lower leaves to clean up the lower area. So that's not a terrible problem. Spacing also helps, not being so cramped. And we have found, and if you've already planted your cucumbers, it's too late for this. We have found if you grow them vertically, that is appears to have the plant seems to grow better because it's off the ground. It doesn't have soil splashing up on the leaves. Easier for the pollinators, easy for the harvester, for you to see what's going on and to see diseases or problems before it's way beyond the point of no return.
Absolutely. So our next question is...
Well, one thing on the cucumbers before you get to that. Some of the problems may be aphids, spider mites, white flies, cucumber beetles, southern corn root worm, or potato leaf hoppers. Now, for the soft-bited insects, you can use the Dr. Zymes Eliminator, drzymes.com/gardentalk. Get your two free samples. You can also find that underneath the money tab at the top of the page of our parent website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com. It's an all-natural spray. You can put it right on your plants up to the day of harvest, non-toxic. You don't need anything, any protective gear. A beautiful product that works very well. So just keep in mind, be vigilant. And don't think that, oh, I planted it, I'll come back in 90 days and harvest. That's not how it works. Now, we go to the next one, Holly. That is a very, very popular one that we're seeing everywhere.
What to do with all these Japanese beetles?
Move. Now,
well, you can move, and then they're going to come find you.
Well, so. Yeah. The show originates out of southeast Wisconsin. And 10 years ago, if you saw a Japanese beetle, people thought you were lying.
Yeah, it was very rare.
And now... when people say, you say you've got Japanese beetles, they say, oh, I've got more than you.
Right, yeah.
It's just the way it's worked.
Yeah. And people, you know, do anything from picking them off plants to, I don't know, spraying them or who knows what. But you can have a simple solution by...
Using rescues,
Japanese beetle traps.
Right.
And they
Most of the time they use it wrong. How do you use that trap correctly?
Right. So most people think, okay, I have Japanese beetles right here in the corner of my yard, right by my tomato plants. I'm going to put this Japanese beetle trap here. But what happens is then you feel like you've collected all the Japanese beetles in the neighborhood. And you probably have. So what you want to do is you want to take and put it on the opposite corner of your yard or wherever, away from where they tend to congregate. And then that way... The trap will still catch them and keep them away from your tomato plants, but you won't necessarily pick up all of the ones or invite them all to your yard.
And you think, well, that's counterintuitive. Whether I put it by the infected plant or tree for that matter, or put it over in the corner, they're still going to come. Now, I remember many years ago on the farm, Grandma has trees in the backyard. I forget what type they're. They're more of a compact tree, 15, 20 feet. And they were infested with Japanese beetles. Well, she hung which nobody knew any better back then. She hung the trap directly under the tree. So everything in a quarter mile radius came to that tree. And it looked like you got more than what you really should have because you were inviting them. There is a pheromone trap in that trap to lure them in. And once they get in, they can't get out. So you want to keep it far away. Another product which you can use is Phylum Bioproducts Beetle Gone, Holly.
Yeah, so Beetle Gone is it is applied to the turf. And
it's summertime now, and the beetles are all over your yard, just like we've talked about, Holly, and they're wreaking havoc, and they're not going to leave easily.
If you're looking to successfully control beetles without damaging the environment, look no further than Beetle Gone from Phylum Bioproducts. It's derived from a naturally occurring soil bacteria. Beetle Gone is the only organic solution that successfully controls beetle invaders. You just mix with powder, the water, and spray on your plants. Once ingested, the targeted pest will stop feeding, and they will die.
And let's, I mean, you can spray it right on your plants. It's BT. It's safe. It will kill the plant. It kill the beetles once they ingest it. So you know, if you got to infect, you can just cover the plant, the tree, the shrub, the bush, whatever you have. Not only does Beetle Gone work, but the best part about the product, it's safe. It's beneficial. It's safe for beneficial insects such as bees, butterflies, and ladybugs, and has zero water toxicity. Beetle Gone is where you need to go. BeetleGone.com is the place to get the product to use so you can finally put a stop to the Japanese beetles. Use coupon code GARDENTALK10 to save 10% off your order at BeetleGone.com. Well, when we come back, hang out with us. Jenny Rose Carey will be with us, author. You're listening to the Garden with Joy and Holly radio show.
Got a question for Joey and Holly? Send it via email anytime to gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
Pomona's Universal Pectin is a high-quality pectin that gels reliably with low amounts of any sweetener. If you're trying to reduce the amount of sugar in your diet, you'll love Pomona's Universal Pectin. Now you can make healthy homemade jams and jellies sweetened to your taste. You can use sugar or honey to sweeten. Pomona's Universal Pectin keeps indefinitely when stored in an airtight container. Easy to use, versatile, and comes with directions and recipes in every box. Find out more and where to buy at PomonaPectin.com. Also available at natural food stores and online.
Japanese beetles show up in summer for a feeding frenzy in your garden, and they are the worst party guest, feeding on leaves, then laying eggs in your lawn for next year. Japanese beetles can decimate your plants and trees. Protect your plants with Japanese beetle traps from Rescue. New this year, Rescue has refilled lures to use the same trap again the next year. Made in the USA by the makers of the popular Rescue Fly and Yellow Jacket traps. Learn more at rescue.com. That's RESCUE.COM. Take the guesswork out of composting with Hot Bin Composting. Quickly break down food scraps within 30 to 90 days. Find out more at hotbincomposting.com. Get $25 off your favorite Hot Bin model through August 15th. That's Hot Bin 26-gallon mini or the Hot Bin 52-gallon MK2. Use coupon code Joey22 at checkout to take $25 off your order at hotbincomposting-usa.com. Hey gardeners, it's that time of growing season, so let's start canning. Head over to Fleet Farm for all of your canning supplies and jam mixes. In one easy stop, find everything you need, like jars, lids, canners, strainers, racks, spatulas, and funnels from top brands like Ball and Kerr. Plus, pick up mixes, sugar, and more. When it comes to canning, get everything you need at your canning headquarters, Fleet Farm. This week's garden tip is sponsored by the amazing Dr. Zymes. Eliminate and prevent garden pests with their 100% all-natural, all-in-one insecticide and fungicide. Experience powerful natural protection from insects, fungus, mold, and mildew. Try a free sample. Visit drzymes.com/gardentalk. When applying the amazing Dr. Zymes, the key is to cover the plant under the leaves and on top, stem and fruit. It will not hurt and can be done the day of harvest too. Foliar feeding is used to feed the plant by applying liquid fertilizer directly to the leaves. Plants can absorb essential elements through their leaves. This will prevent pest problems and fungal problems and ensure a higher rate of success. Dr. Zymes is OMRI listed, safe up to the time of harvest, and doesn't leave a residue. That helpful garden tip was sponsored by the amazing Dr. Zymes. Eliminate and prevent garden pests with their 100% all-natural, all-in-one insecticide and fungicide. Experience powerful natural protection from insects, fungus, mold, and mildew. Try a free sample. Visit drzymes.com/gardentalk. Thanks for listening to the Garden with Joey and Holly radio show. As you've heard through the program, many companies offering coupon codes to help you save on great products. If you've missed any of those coupon codes, you can go to our parent website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, and click on the Money tab at the top of the page, and they're all listed for you. The Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Pro Plugger, Chip Drop, Bell Buster, Johnny Appleseed, Ivy Organic, Milkweed Balm, Walton's Incorporated, Bloomin' Easy Plants, Jung Seeds. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Jenny Rose, Carly, moments away. But first, Simple Grow, product that doesn't smell, that will feed your plants and make your plants smile.
Are you worrying about your plant growth? Provide your plants with what they need to grow to their potential. Simple Grow offers 100% organic worm castings at simplegrow.com. Unlike other worm casting products, when you order from Simple Grow, you are getting 100% worm casting, not filler plus castings. You can promote ideal soil structure and aeration with Simple Grow's all-natural and odor-free worm castings. There's only one ingredient, worm castings. No chemicals or additives will seep into your food, and it doesn't smell like other fertilizers. For indoor and outdoor use, you can buy by the bag, bundle, ton, or truckload. Check out what Simple Grow 100% worm castings can do for your plants and order today at simplegrow.com.
Well, Holly, let's go to the Proclamation Hotline, brought to you by Proclamation Goods, and bring in our guest for this week.
Jenny Rose Carey is a renowned gardener, educator, historian, and author. Jenny Rose has been lecturing nationally and internationally for many years. She also has gardened in both England and in the U.S. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we're very happy to have you on the program, not only to educate Holly and myself, but all of our listeners across the country.
Oh, well, thank you.
So you have a book called Glorious Shade, where you encourage people to embrace the shadier areas of their gardens. What are some helpful tips or ideas for people who are new to the idea of growing in shade, or, you know, for the people who want to try more shade gardening?
Well, I named the book Glorious Shade because I do think that, you know, many people start with maybe gardening in sun. So maybe they're growing vegetables or annuals or something like that, like zinnias. And maybe don't quite get gardening in shade. So to me, shade gardening brings so many benefits. And I think during the pandemic, we found that lovely shaded places were maybe where it was best to hang out and sit up. The gorgeous foliage above and things like that. So when I set out to write the book, I realized that one of the first things people don't understand is how to gauge how much shade there is. So in the book, there's a whole chapter about how to tell whether it's full shade or part shade, which I define as 2 to 6 hours. And then, you know, looking at the time of day when it's shaded, because if it's shaded in the afternoon, you can grow a lot more things that maybe wouldn't dry out in that hot afternoon sun. So it really just goes through looking at the amount of shade and maybe adjusting it if you're not happy with, if you have too much shade, maybe working out how to either trim some hedges back or, you know, get a little more dappled light in there. So that's really the first thing. And then the second one is looking at the soil, because under a tree, I don't know if you've ever noticed in a rainstorm, but the tree acts not only as a parasol and shading you from the sun, but it often acts as an umbrella. So it's drier under the tree, even a deciduous tree. But if you can do it yourself, fine, but otherwise an arborist might be able to lighten up the canopy in places. Or you pull the garden slightly away from the tree and go to the lovely bit that I call edge shade, which is often people have trees or shrubs around the edge of their property and then lawn in the middle. And that bit sort of where the canopy meets the lawn is a really good place to start shade gardening, because you get enough light for things to flower, but it's not too baking a sun. So that's a lot of information in a couple of sentences. But, you know, basically it's fun. It's fun, and, you know, a lot of people are finding out that it's very rewarding.
And I always say, yeah, there are certain plants that in the vegetable world that need a lot of sunlight. But if you look in the woods, there's a lot of plants that grow in shade or almost complete shade. So wherever your situation is, there's probably something that you can grow in your area.
Exactly. And also, you know, I'm a big proponent of native plants. So there's a wonderful website that the USDA puts out that you can look up plants that are your native to your area, or you go to your county extension or your state extension and look for plants that naturally live in your area, and they'll be very adapted. And then you can find the ones that like shade and the ones that like sun, and they've got much more of a hope of doing well in your situation. Plus you're adding to your local ecosystem. So it's really a fun way to, I feel like it's giving back to your community of birds and insects and small mammals and things that live in your area.
Right. Now, I have to ask you about your dry garden on your property. On our show, we tell people how to water and keep things watered. What is a dry garden? What is that for you?
So basically, I have an old house from 1887 called Northview, and it's on a well. And when I had my three girls living here, it was I was running out of water. Well, actually, I had no outdoor taps when I first moved here 25 years ago. So, you know, basically, it was the watering can in the kitchen sink if I wanted to water something. So we had been on a trip to Provence in the south of France and seen that some of my favorite plants like lavenders were growing basically by the side of the road and with nobody caring for them and, you know, looking after them. And I'd been trying to grow lavender in my herb garden and with very little success because I think I was treating the lavender too nicely and watering it and giving it rich soil. And I sort of had an aha moment because I realized that many of the things that I wanted to grow actually needed more like a rock garden type situation where instead of a wood mulch or a leaf mold mulch, they needed stones, gravel, grit around the base of their crown because they were getting too wet. And so it was sort of like a way of dealing with a bad situation, which was no extra water from the well, and really wanting to grow some things that were silver-leaved, like eryngiums and even some of the baptisias, which you might know. I can't remember the English name. But a lot of the things with deep roots that get their taproot down and really don't need additional water. And obviously that will vary from, you know, your listeners are over a wide area. So what you grow will, you know, again, vary by your area. But if you start looking for things that are adapted to drought, it's really a fun way of having a lower maintenance garden. I haven't watered that garden since 2004 when I put it in. I do water them in, but then after that, it's tough love, I call it.
Well, that's fantastic. So since you have garden in England and the United States, what are some major differences that you've noted between the two?
Well, I would say until this week, temperature, but I don't know if you've been following the news, but poor Europe and England and Wales and Scotland, are all roasting under the summer sun.
Record-breaking heat, yeah.
Yes, yeah. So, you know, it's probably to be expected as we go forward, but they're really not, you know, ready for it. My oldest daughter lives in London with her husband, and they have no air conditioning and no fans, so, you know, they're going to be really hot. So normally you would say, I'm just going to go back to the normal, that England is more temperate, whereas the vast majority of the continental USA is extreme cold and extreme hot. And I sort of joke that England, you know, spring starts in January and maybe finishes by about June. But, you know, they get a nice long spring and they're sort of like a cool zone eight. So when we all get garden envy of what the Brits can grow and we're just like, oh, darn, why can't I grow that, you know, there is a reason that they can grow different things because it doesn't get as hot and it doesn't get as cold. Having said that, I try, you know, having grown up in England, there are certain plants that I love to grow. So I try and figure out how to grow them in my, my garden is zone 6-7, but you know, it's sort of, I don't know. We have periods of drought. We have very cold weather every now and then. So it's just a bit of a challenge. But, you know, roses, for example, they don't have the Japanese beetle there. I hope they never get them, you know. So it's just different pests, different things. You know, I love to travel and see them and try and get ideas from their gardens, though.
Great. So we are talking with Jenny Rose Carey, a renowned gardener, educator, historian, and author.
Now, you growing up in London, I'll ask this from a personal question. We see a lot of YouTubers, allotments, and the perception and what we've understood as Americans is not many people in that area have property to grow a garden on. That's why the allotments are there and with the World War II and all that. Were you considered fortunate to have property in order to grow a garden, or how did that work for you?
Oh, when I was growing up, you mean?
Yes,
Joe?
Yes.
We actually did have an allotment.
Okay.
I grew up in a little village called East Morling in Kent, and my grandparents were in the neighbouring village of Ditton. And we had a tiny little garden next to the house. And so we trundled our wheelbarrow down the hill and, you know, with all the tools in and everything like that. And as a kid, it was like uphill both ways, you know, uh-huh. And it was always steaming and hot, you know, as you were doing the weeding. No, we had an allotment, which is like a community garden. And, you know, we grew all our vegetables. My dad is still alive and he's still a very big vegetable grower. And he's always loved that. So, yeah, we did. We grew around the house. We had a little rockery with a pond made out of the old bathtub and, you know, there was one tree, a silver birch tree, and then all our vegetables were grown down the road. Huh. So, yeah, that's what we did. Yeah, you're right. And it's still very much a thing just because the way that they build houses even today is they're much closer together and clustered, and then the farmland is in between. So it's nucleated settlement, I suppose you'd call it.
So how do you pay homage to that historical property?
Oh, it's very interesting because it has Quaker roots. And for your listeners outside Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania was founded by William Penn, who was a Quaker. And his whole ethos was to provide religious freedom. And he was very respectful to the Lenape Native American people. And so, and also at the back of the property, there is a stop that was on the Underground Railroad. So I really like to always be respectful of the Lenape Native Americans who gardened this area and used it before the settlement of the Quakers, but also, you know, honor the Underground Railroad that came through this area. The Quakers are very fond of nature, and many of our public gardens in this area have Quaker roots, and that's a very bad pun, but they were founded by Quakers, gardened by Quakers. And I have the autobiography of Wilma, that's W-I-L-M-E-R, the boy's name, not Wilma with an A. I have a funny accent in case you didn't gather. But and his wife, Anna Atkinson. And coincidentally, they had three daughters the same as us. And in that autobiography, I have a quote up here. He said, "I made many journeys to inspect nurseries. I bought beautiful growing things for the adornment of our lawn. And we still have a few Wilma trees on the property, a few less after the tornado came through with Hurricane Ida, I have to say, on the 1st of September, which was very, very sad. But I pay homage through the tours that I give, through the lectures that I give. So I feel like his spirit goes on. But I just really, I think probably by planting trees, because there's this great quote in his autobiography by a I suppose she's a poet called Lucy Larcom. And it says, "He who plants a tree, he plants love, tents of coolness spreading out above. Wayfarers he may not live to see, gifts that grow are best, hands that bless are blessed, plant, life does the rest." And I just love that quote. It sends shivers down my spine, because I just really feel like the beautiful old trees that I have inherited in this garden were planted by Wilma and his co-workers, and I am the beneficiary. So I'm really always encouraging people to plant a tree and, you know, really take that respectful attitude towards their surroundings and nature in general.
Very, very good information, Jen. Jenny, we appreciate the time you've offered us. How can our listeners find out more about you and get your books?
Oh, well, thank you. I have a website that is my name, Jenny with a Y, Rose Carey, C-A-R-E-Y, .com. And if you want to follow me on Instagram, I love Instagram, and I post some reels and pictures of the garden and flowers. And that's at Northview Garden with one, just a garden, or at Jenny Rose Carey. And my two books, I have the Glorious Shade book, and then the newest one that came out about a few weeks ago is The Ultimate Flower Gardener's Guide. And they're both Timber Press, and they're available wherever good books are sold. So I appreciate the opportunity to talk about the garden and the books, and I hope that your listeners enjoy.
Well, you are very welcome, and we do thank you again for the time you've offered all of us and the wisdom you've shared.
Okay. Well, have a good day.
Absolutely. And when we come back, it's going to be your garden questions, our garden answers. This is the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Got a question for Joey and Holly? Send it via email anytime to gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
Protect your plants from damage with the 3-in-1 Plant Guard and Special Blend Fertilizer. Visit ivyorganics.com. Use promo code RADIO10 to save 10% off your order.
Brought to you by Blue Ribbon Organics, providing locally made organic compost and soil blends for gardens, farms, landscaping, and more. Visit BlueRibbonOrganics.com or call 262-497-8539 to find their products nearest you.
It's a struggle to find fruit that isn't a disappointment or a waste of money, especially peaches at the grocery store. You bring them home, they turn mealy and gross. Well, Tree Riot Fruit Company has the answer. They deliver fruit straight from the farm, obsessed with quality, so you can actually experience the joy of a great-tasting fruit. Love Georgia peaches? Tree Ripe delivers the best peaches you'll ever eat directly from the farm within days of being picked. Peach season starts June 15th and goes through August 4th. In July, they also deliver Michigan blueberries. You can find them at over 400 Peach Stops events throughout the Midwest, or have fruit delivered directly to your home. All the event details and ordering information can be found at their website, tree-ripe.com. An extra bonus for you listeners, get 10% off your first purchase when you order online only, tree-ripe.com, by using coupon code HOLLY10, HOLLY10. A little bit of summer is what the whole year's all about. Barbecues, parties, with friends. The fun is endless, unless the sun or thunderstorms have damaged your outdoor furniture.
Keep it looking brand new with custom protective covers from coversandall.com. They have fabric choices for days that are 100% waterproof, coated to protect against sun, and can be custom designed for any size or shape, and placing or removing them. Easy peasy. Visit coversandall.com and use code GARDEN25 at checkout to save 25% on your purchase. Thanks for listening to the Gardening with Joe and Holly radio show. As you've heard through the program, many companies offering coupon codes to help you save on great products. If you've missed any of those coupon codes, you can go to our parent website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, and click on the Money tab at the top of the page, and they're all listed for you. The Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Tree Ripe, Covers and All, Ironwood Tool Company, Timber Pro Coatings, Blue Ribbon Organics, Natural Green Products, Algae Men, Dr. Zyme, Happy Leaf LED, Rescue, Big Tool Rack, Hot Bin Composting, Proclamation Goods. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. It's time for question and answer. Your questions are answers. You want to partake in that. In addition to the questions that we currently have come in this week, you can do that two different avenues, gardentalkradio@gmail.com. You can send that email over, gardentalkradio@gmail.com. If you have a photograph, you can attach that. That would help our conclusion to your situation much easier. Or if you want to talk to us, you can certainly jam your fingers in your phone and dial us up at 1-800-927-SHOW, 1-800-927-7469, toll free coast to coast.
Proclamation Goods creates cookware for the eco-conscious home chef. Their pans are non-toxic, have a lifetime warranty, and are made in Wisconsin. Their award-winning stainless steel Proclamation Duo cookware set is a 12-inch skillet and a stockpot that doubles as a wok. Best of all, the skillet and stockpot hinge together to form a Dutch oven. It's two pans with the versatility of 10, empowering you to cook more with less. If you care about your health and strive for a more sustainable lifestyle, then Proclamation Goods is for you. Supplies limited, so order yours now at ProclamationGoods.com.
ProclamationGoods.com, that's your destination for cookware that you'll only buy once and you'll never buy again. We had a number of questions come in this week, Holly. We'll start with this one. It's sponsored by Fleet Farm and FleetFarm.com. I am from Southwest Wisconsin, and I have a bunch of lettuce that is coming back from last year. Will it be okay to eat?
Well, hello from southeastern Wisconsin to the Driftless region. Yes, volunteer lettuce is okay to eat. Any plant that comes back from last year, that you know what it is.
You got to know what it is.
You got to know what it is.
Well, I think it's don't. Nope. Then
you, no.
Nope,
if you
don't.
For sure know that this is, you planted that lettuce and it's lettuce, then by all means, yes. Tomatoes, peppers, ground cherries, lettuce can be eaten, and you have been given free plants.
Yeah, we've had that happen. Well, volunteer tomatoes is very popular in most gardens. We've had it where the lettuce, we went, let it go to seed, and we come up and it's growing in the garden and in the yard and everywhere in between. So and even another, like on the deck where we have containers, Rootmaker grow bags, you can get yours at rootmaker.com, 15% off at with Radio 22 is coupon code, and it comes up voluntarily, and we don't know where it's come from. We don't know anything. So it's very beneficial to not pull out everything that you see in the garden as it's coming up. At least let it grow a couple of inches to identify it, because you may have some free plants there.
Free plants.
Free plants. Get your free plants. All right. Next question here, Holly. Is the ink and color non-toxic in printed paper for shredding, mulching, and composting purposes?
Yeah, the ink and color is not toxic on printed paper. It's typically made from soy. So
construction paper, yeah, whatever it is.
You can use it for your mulch or your compost, or put underneath your garden beds, whatever.
And newspaper the same way. It's a soy-based ink. And you can now, cardboard is a different story. Cardboard is made with glue, toxic glue most likely. And we've used it as mulch. We've used it as a weed barrier. It's your discretion on how toxic that toxicity is in your world. Holly and I feel that of all the things that we've sucked in and ate and drank of toxicity, a little bit of glue going in our soil, probably not that damaging.
Like purple ketchup back in the 90s.
Well, they had green ketchup, too.
Right. All right, next question.
What you forgot about the 90s.
Right, so what if you grow short day onions in the winter?
Yes.
When the days are short, double over to keep out the very harsh cold. Anyone tried?
So what they're asking is...
Oh, double cover.
Got double cover, yeah. a greenhouse inside of a greenhouse type of thing. Now, this would probably be a cool little project to do if you had the space and the time. However, and again, what they're asking is, in the northern portions of the United States, you grow long day onions during the summer. Long day, when the sun gets to their 14, 16-hour shining time frame, that's when the plants start to bulb. In the fall, in the south, that's when you start planting in October and you harvest in the spring. If you just plant short day onions in the north in the spring, you're going to get green tops, virtually no bulb. Vice versa, if you grow long day in the south, you're going to get green onions and no bulb. In the middle portions of the United States, Washington, D.C. to St. Louis to Denver to San Francisco, kind of draw that line, give or take where you're at, you'll grow intermittent day or neutral day or midday onions, and that varies based on where you're at, farther north, farther south, so that can be a problem. So he's wanting this individual, it was a guy, was wanting to know if I just double the tent in the greenhouse and add more cover and add the heat, could I grow short day during the winter months? Well, onions grow best between 55 and 75 degrees. Now, they got to get them warm, and then once they establish, then they can handle the temperature a little different. But there's a lot of energy going to be used, Holly, in order to make this happen. Keeping the furnace going or the wood going or whatever it is to keep that. Because doubling up in temperatures in the northern portion of the United States, there are multiple days that are below zero in some regions. Months, weeks, negative temperatures. So there's a lot of energy going to be expended in order to keep those plants alive. I just don't think it would be a practical... Just go to the grocery store and buy 5 pounds for however many dollars it is.
Right. Absolutely. No, not.
If you want to try and play around with it, that's great. But if you're thinking that you're going to really change the world of onion production, not so much.
Right. Definitely.
All right. So, Holly here. What is the best way to tell if a glass jar is or can be used for canning?
Well, a lot of the times the jar will say Mason on it, perfect Mason, something like that. Most of the time, even if you look at the bottom or along the side, if it's not marked, most canning jars are pretty clearly marked. They will say Mason on them. If you aren't sure, I would err on the side of caution. If it seems like something that is a nice, hefty jar that would be good for canning, you can certainly try it. But again, I would just err on the side of caution and make sure that it is clearly a Mason jar.
Not every glass jar is good for canning or safe for canning because
right.
of the what is the glass or the thickness of the glass or both?
It's the thickness of the glass. I think it's pretty obvious. You will see the difference in the thickness of that glass and the quality. They also seem to have a very specific shape to them. Mm-hmm. They have very defined shoulders. If you have an old mayonnaise jar
from the 80s that was glass,
it doesn't have those defined shoulders of the jar.
But you also know when you have talked to people in person and you've seen online where they don't care what the jar is. They'll slap a lid on it and go ahead and process it regardless of what kind of jar it is, which is very dangerous.
Yeah, that can
on multiple levels.
Right. That can be very dangerous. And
People want you to say it's okay when we had done personal talks.
And I'm not going to do that because I personally do not think it's okay. I'm a safe canner. I buy the book to canner. In many aspects of my life, I don't always necessarily follow the rules. But when it comes to canning and I'm canning food that I want to eat and be safe, I'm going to follow the rules.
And while we're on the topic of canning, Holly, what is a safe time frame from in the jar, sealed, lid sealed, put it on the shelf to I've extended past the I shouldn't eat this any longer or try to eat this. What do we,
I would say,
and does it matter what's in it, in the jar? versus not?
I would say, A, use your best discretion in any situation, because we had some strawberry jam. So it's 1 year. One year is like for fresh.
Is what the book says.
Is what the book says. Now, does it mean that your spaghetti sauce is going to go immediately bad after 1 year? No. But if it's been a few years, maybe more than 2 years, definitely use that with caution. We had some strawberry jam that after 1 year had some boozy smell to it. So it really depends on what it is.
Well, I remember Mom making grape juice. We had big grape vines, and it went ferment after a couple of years. It turned into a light wine. Now, we didn't drink. We poured it out, but you could smell the booziness that it was just in the jar under the cabinet.
And this is another important reason why you want to store it without the rings on, because there's been times where we've gone through our canning stash and we found pasta sauce that had clearly opened itself, and there was a layer of mold at the top. And if we'd left that ring on, it may have resealed itself.
Right. Well, with that being said, we are out of time, and we thank you for yours. Did you miss any portion of the program today or would like to revisit it? Hey, you can do that by going to your favorite podcast platform and searching the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. You can send us an email to gardentalkradio@gmail.com or our parent website under the Season 6 tab, which is the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com. And we can send you a link if you need help with that. Tune in next week to the program. We are going to discuss composting and the art of canning. Our guest will be permaculture expert Justin Rose, and we'll answer your garden questions. So until next week, for
Holly Baird,
I'm Joy Baird, and we will see you in the garden.